I entitled my message this week, Don't Look for the Living Among the Dead. And I'll use for my scripture text Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Very familiar passage in Luke 24. We always talk about the walk to Emmaus, and that's part of Luke 24. But the beginning part of Luke 24 is about the resurrection. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. New Living Translation says this. But very early on a Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb. They were taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in, but they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus, and they were puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, the two men appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed low before him. Then the men asked, Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has been risen from the dead. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day? Then they remembered that they had heard this, so they rushed back to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went into the tomb were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several others. They told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and he saw the empty linen wrappings. And then he went home again, wondering what had happened. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Well, sometimes when we gather, especially on Easter Sunday morning, we start out with, He is risen! And then the congregation responds, He is risen indeed. Now, if you were here in person on Sunday morning at the church, what I'm going to try to do, and it probably won't be a large stone, but I'm going to lift up a stone. And my question would be, is this stone alive? I think most of us would say, no, crazy, stones aren't alive. And then I might hold up an animal or an insect or some other kind of animal. Well, I use the term lobster for lack of a better term. So I'm holding up this lobster, if you imagine, and I'll say, is this lobster alive? No, it's not alive, or I wouldn't be holding it. Them little things with them pinchers, they can pinch you. It looks like it could be alive. Because it's a replica of a lobster. But it's an inanimate object. Now, most of us had went to school in one time or other in our life. Maybe it's been a long time ago. But remember when we had science class? We'd strike a difference in our world between what is animate and inanimate. You know, we would do... I don't know if they do that anymore. We'd even dissect frogs. I don't know if they do that anymore, but we would look at plants and reptiles and mammals and amoebas and cells and even bones are an animate object. Because sometimes bones are alive if you get into the inner working of the bone. Hair, fingernails, rocks, the rug in the church. The pews that we sit in, these are all inanimate objects. They're not alive. They do not grow on their own. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Hair and fingernails don't grow. Yeah, hair and fingernails are pushed out, and they appear to grow, but they themselves are dead cells and could not grow on their own unless attached to a living human being. Now, I did bring a leftover palm frond that is now separated from its tree, and it's basically dead. This clothing, the fibers long separated from their plant sources, are dead. This pew that we sat in many years ago was hewn from its source of a tree, which is now dead wood. The people that we read about in history books, their past lives and their bodies are, you got it, dead. This building, the beautiful church at Bethel United Methodist Church, made of mostly wood and some brick, and well, I wouldn't say brick, but maybe some cinder block and mortar and wood and tile and all the other things that go along with a building are, yep, dead. The saints who have come before us, those bodies that we bury in our cemetery memorials around the church, are dead. But Jesus is not dead. Now, I need to hear me now. I want to talk a little bit about that Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. Now, this proclamation goes against everything that we know, and I know that. Everything that we believe in. Everything that defines our physical world and what we understand to be scientifically true. And yet, Jesus is alive. Now, we mourned his passing during Holy Week. I hope you had a chance to participate in some Holy Week services, maybe downtown at Trinity. But we acknowledged his burial. We felt the sadness of his absence for those 3 days. The loss of life lived, and a mission begun. And yet today we celebrate and we declare that Jesus is in fact alive. Now, how many of us really believe that Jesus is alive? I do, and I hope you do too. Because, you see, Jesus doesn't just rise up for a moment on Easter Sunday in the first century. He didn't just make a brief appearance to prove that he had conquered death. The story of Scrooge and the Christmas Carol, you know, Scrooge suggested that the things that he was seeing maybe was undigested beef. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't an appearance or a vision or an illusion. He wasn't a fictional tale. He being Jesus, he was there. And more than that, he is here this beautiful Sunday morning, right in this room. Remember what he said? I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, and I will send one greater than I when I go to heaven. And that is the Holy Spirit. Within this congregation this morning, in this world, and at this time, real and alive, Jesus was raised from the dead. And he lives forevermore. Now, Jesus' rising is not merely a transitional or transitory. They talked about this inflation that we have. Well, it might be transitory, meaning it's only temporary. No, Jesus rising from the dead was permanent and enduring until the end of the age. Jesus is here. Now you hear some people say, well, at the end of the world, that's when, no. The world's never going to blow up. We sing that song on Sunday morning, world without end. Amen. Amen. But the end of the age of grace will happen. And Jesus is here this morning. He's alive. He's influential. He's got healing power. He's got changing power. He's got building power. And hallelujah, he's got saving power right here and right now. That's the good news of Jesus' resurrection. This was not a one-time thing. We think about it that way because we always celebrate it once a year. But this is an always thing. So why do we spend so much time looking for our security and our answers and our resurrections among our buildings and numbers and tradition and history? And why do we keep looking for the living power of Jesus in our past when he's right here in our present? Praise be to God. So why do we mistrust our future when we already know that Jesus is already there in our future? He said he went to prepare a place for us. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Now, some translations say many resting places. I like that. So why do we worship a historical figure, a storybook figure, a dead and gone figure, Jesus, when we know in our heart of hearts that Jesus is not dead or gone? But he's here. He's alive. And in that case, why are we not celebrating? We should be celebrating every day of our life the blessed hope that we have. We spend most of our time mourning for what is past and gone. I'm guilty of it too. Instead of looking around to what Jesus is inviting us to be doing with him in the now. Wow! To be in ministry with Jesus in our day and time. Scripture for today, the angel of the Lord asks just what the women are at the tomb for. They had gone to the tomb with fragrant oils and spices like we talked about last week, about how important they were to prepare the body for burial. But when they got there, they saw the stone to the entrance rolled away. Remember what we said about stones as witnesses last week? This is a big one. They stood there kind of dumbfounded when they saw two men standing beside them in gleaming white clothing. They said to the woman there, their eyes searching from within the tomb for Jesus. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He isn't here. He has been raised. Don't you remember what he told you? And at that, the women ran to tell the others. Even then, it was hard for them to believe. For the disciples, the mission, everything they believed and fought for those 3 years that they were with Jesus and excited about. And then he went and died. There they are. They're with their teacher and rabbi, Jesus. He's alive. Now you talk about decline. His following, once thousands and thousands, have dwindled to just a few close disciples of his inner circle. Most had given up. Sure, there was just another failed uprising. That's what it was. He came and we had a good time and we had some hope, but now he's gone. Many of those people had returned to their homes or were hiding from the Romans, one or the other. Only the women ventured out to the tomb, as no one would question them being there. That was the way the culture was of the day. Nobody would question these women going out there to the tomb. But what they witnessed was Jesus' resurrection. And the others, too, would understand, and still it was hard to fathom, hard to take in, and hard for them to understand how they were to proceed. They would remain in their room, or a term that we have now that we use, shelter in place, until the time of Pentecost. You know, when we're experiencing grief and loss in our own life, and disappointment and decline, it's hard for us to see anything but death around us, and I understand that. That's why we don't have burial services in our United Methodist tradition. We have death, burial, and resurrection service because of the hope that we had. That's the good news of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't have any hope. But the good news still for us today is that he being Jesus, God Almighty, manifested in the flesh, is alive. Our past, our religion, Sometimes I, you know, we can make a religion out of anything. And you've heard me say this before. We as Christians don't have a religion. We have a relationship with the living God through Christ. Our past, our even our traditions, our structures and our buildings and even our hierarchies, our rules and regulations that we all deal with day in and day out. None of these matter on Resurrection Day. The world calls it Easter, and that's okay as long as they know really what Easter is about, and it's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. People may sound like tombs sometimes and remind us, you know, the way things used to be. Yeah, I remember that. But today, hallelujah, Jesus reminds us that this is not the end of our story. It's instead only the beginning. God had accomplished something so spectacular that none of us could ever imagine or even believe it and say, wow, it's true. God had created life from those dry bones, bud from the barren trees, sprouts from dead seeds, and resurrection life from a tortured and weary body. Because this is who God is. God is a life giver. God created life, and God can recreate life. That's what it means to be born again. Not that you go back into your mother's womb, but spiritually you're renewed, and your dead physical life becomes anew because of the grace and love of the Holy Spirit. God, who created the order of the universe, and God can adapt the order of that universe any which way God pleases. So today, Easter Sunday, if you would, or I like to say, this is Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate not just Jesus' resurrection, but our own resurrection. This is a time of new beginnings, of new chances, of renewed hope, and the knowledge that God's church does not end. It just changes forms. So rejoice, people of God, and don't look for the living among the dead, for he is risen, and so are you. He is risen. Repeat with me, he is risen indeed. Well, we pray you're having a wonderful Resurrection Sunday with time of fellowship and renewing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of the Easter traditions from way, way back, people, new believers, would come to the Lord and they would baptize them on Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. It's when you would take new people into the church. We don't do that much anymore, but I want to share something with you about our baptism. You know, we have that little service that we do, remember your baptism and be holy. So on this Resurrection Sunday, remember that you are a baptized member of God's kingdom. Jesus gave us two sacraments, Holy Communion and baptism. And why are they special? Because Jesus participated in them. And he said that often, and do this in remembrance of me at Holy Communion. We have so much to celebrate on this Resurrection Sunday. Have a blessed day. Hope to see you in church sometime soon in person. We love you.